This morning, I'd like to read from Romans, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. This will be the last Sunday that we're going to be talking about the functional gifts of God to the church. It's good to have Devin Anders with us this morning. This is an evangelist, goes to TBC, and we're glad to have him here this morning. We also have Brother Riley Jenkins with us. He went and hid somewhere. He's playing the organ over there, and we're glad to have him with us this morning. And they're visiting us today, so it's good to have them with us. But it says in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Everybody say reasonable service. That God will never ask you to do something that is unreasonable, that it is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's a huge piece of advice that Paul gives us right there. Do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. The moment that we get lifted up, the moment that we get puffed up, the moment that we begin to think it's possibly about us and our talents and our abilities and our stuff, is the very moment that we begin to crash and burn. There's something about being able to stay humble before God. I came across something this past week that said that you need to repent every single day of your life. Because, and I might mention this again in the worship service, but there is something about having an attitude of repentance that keeps you in the spirit of repentance that helps keep you from ever allowing yourself to be lifted up and thinking that it's all about you. When you find something every day and say, God, because we all are sinners saved by grace. You might be getting in an argument with your wife or your husband. It might be the way you disciplined your children. It might be something you've seen. It might be somebody on the job that needs a high five to the face. And so you just sometimes just, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, that we live a repentive attitude so that we do not allow ourselves to be lifted up, but to think soberly according as God has dealt every man a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and we are all members. It says, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, here we go. These are gifts. Gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Whether it or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. This morning we're going to be talking about the gift of giving. So Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that your will and your way would be done, that you would speak to us today, oh God, that we would be sensitive to your voice and your spirit. Lord, that your will and your way would be done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning we're going to be talking about the gift of giving. A lot of times when we think about giving, we don't think about giving as a gift from God. We think of giving as something that is a responsibility. We think of something that we do. We think about our tithe. We think about our offering. But literally, there is a gift that God bestows upon people that gives them the ability to have something to offer the kingdom of God. Now, it doesn't always mean monetary means. It doesn't always mean that you just have a lot of money in your pocket. It might be your talents. It might be your abilities. It might be what you have to give. You look at Tabitha in the Bible. Tabitha didn't have a lot of money, but she was considered a disciple of Christ. But she made coats for people. that her way of giving back to the kingdom is she didn't have money to give, but she had a talent and ability that she could do. That when winter would come around, she would begin to make coats for people in the church, that she would begin to make coats for the new people that came in. It was a ministry. It was something that she could do. She didn't have the financial blessings in her pocket to be able to reach out and bless somebody that way, but she would make coats for people. And when she died, they went and found Paul. They went and found him and brought him in. And they were all standing around. They went and got all of the coats that she had made throughout her ministry. And they began to pile that room full of the things that she had given to the kingdom of God. The ability, the talent that she had given, they begin to gather it all together and lay it down there in the room where she lay dead. And when the apostle walked in, they turned and looked and said, hey, we got to have this woman. We can't do without this woman. She's just a coat maker. She just makes coat. No, you don't understand. She's a giver to the kingdom. She's an important part of our church. She's an important part of the revival that's going on around here. That, yes, she might not be the one that owns the biggest building in town, but there was a spirit of giving that got the attention of the apostle and got the attention of God. There's something powerful that when we begin to release ourselves to be able to be used of God in whatever means of giving that we can, that God will bless us. It's Acts 20 and 35 that says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Here he is, he's telling you, this is what I need you to do. I need you to support the weak. I need you. Now, when you support the weak, there are many different ways to support the weak. You might find somebody that you know that is struggling with groceries, and you purchase them groceries and bring them to their house. That's one way to support the weak. You might, I remember when I was evangelizing, $100 handshake was woo-wee. Man, that was a blessing right there when somebody, you didn't have enough money to get to camp meeting, and then somebody walked up and shakes your hand, and you feel something in your hand, and you're, oh Jesus, I'm going to get to eat tonight. Taco Bell, here I come, you know. And that blessing that somebody knew that there was a need there, and they were able to hear from God and be used of God. And so it says that laboring for those that's to support the weak. It might be that you don't have the monetary funds to help somebody that way, but is there anybody in your life that you're investing into? Did you know that you can support the weak? They might be weak in mind. They might be weak in spirit. They might be weak in their relationship with God, but you can support them with what you have to offer. What we're talking about today is not just about money. We start talking about giving, and everybody gets tight, and because when you start talking about somebody's money, and then we get all freaked out, and we get nervous, and we start checking for wallets and make sure everything's down tight, we're talking about giving of ourselves today. We're talking about allowing God to be able to speak through us. Because if God can speak to you about your giving, about what you're going to give of yourself, he can speak to you about any other thing in your life. If you can be sensitive enough to hear from God about what God wants to do in your life, and that he wants you to give something from yourself, you can be sensitive enough to hear from God about your time, your money, your talents, and to give it into something that you might not ever receive anything back from, God can speak to you about anything in your life. If you're needing a word from God and you're wondering why you haven't heard from God, you need to start saying, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And it doesn't matter if it's the worst job that you can think of. If you feel that impressed in your spirit, I'm going to do it. Because if God can speak to me to do this and he can talk to me about this, then he can speak to me about anything else that's going on in my life. If we can be sensitive about when we get past what we want and what we desire and what we think, and it becomes about somebody or something else, that's when God can truly begin to speak into our lives. When we go beyond ourselves. We want God to speak about this. We want God to speak about that. We want God to tell us about this. We want God to tell us about that. And all the while God's saying, I've been telling you about this for a long time. And if you will step out, you'll be able to hear me on other areas in your life also. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, we're back at Acts 20 and 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We've created an atmosphere where everybody has their hand out. I need to get money back for this. I need to get that. I need to get this. I need to get that. If we get a 20-day guarantee on something from Best Buy and it doesn't add up, we're going to be right back in there. So we're going to be holding somebody accountable about what this is not doing, and we deserve this, and we paid for this, and this is what we need. But the fact of the matter is God wants us to hold ourselves accountable about what we do also. That we've got to understand that it's not always about us, but it's about his kingdom. See, we get worried about everybody else, and it's not about us, it's about his kingdom. Ananias and Sapphira, they were worried about what everybody else thought. They were looking around and they were worried about, well, if we do this, then they're going to think this, and if we do this, they're going to think that, and we'll look really good. And so they went and sold a piece of property, because they'd seen this man by the name of Barnabas. He went and sold a piece of property. He went and sold a piece of property, and he felt like God wanted him to give it. And he gave this piece of property, but it was in the right spirit and the right attitude. He came. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about what was going on. It was about the kingdom of God. There's something powerful about when we can put it into kingdom mindset, that when we say, you know what, I'm going to buy this person groceries, but it's not about me, it's about his kingdom. I'm going to take this person out to eat lunch, but it's not about me, it's about his kingdom. It's not about what anybody else knows about me, it's about that I'm in right standing with my Father. And so we see here, as he says, it's better to give than it is to receive. A lot of times we hold back. We like, you know, and with our time. Well, I don't have time to give, so I've got to hold this back because I'm just going to be too busy. I'm just going to have too much going on. I can't get involved in this ministry. I can't allow myself to be involved in that ministry. I know that the Sunday school department needs some more people, but you know, I can be there for VBS. That's just a few days out of the year. But to give of myself on a Sunday morning, to have to get a lesson together on a Saturday night, I just don't know if I can give of myself. I've got too much going on. I've got too many things in my life. I've got too many irons in the fire. I know that God wants me to give this, that he's spoken into my heart about giving this to somebody. But I can't give it because I need to make sure I have it for a rainy day. There's going to come a hurricane one day, and I've got to make sure that that fund is built up just right. There's going to come a rainy day one day, and I've got to make sure everything is where it needs to be. And so when God begins to speak to us about being sensitive to his spirit and allowing God to use us, all of a sudden we start holding back and saying, well, God, you know, we start making, you know what I'm telling God when I do that? Because I've been guilty of it before. You know what I tell God when I do that? I'm telling God that what I have, you're not big enough to take care of me when that time comes. You're not big enough to handle the situations that are going to be going on in my life during that time. And so I've got to hold some of this back for myself to make sure that when that time comes, I can take care of myself. Let's look at it in a time standpoint. I need this time for me because I'm stressed and I've got all of these things that are going on in my life and I'm so busy and I've got all of this stuff going on and I don't feel like that you can give me the peace and the joy that I need in my life without this time being in my life, without these few hours that I would be giving. If I don't have these, I don't believe that I can find complete joy. You can't give me what this can give me. Does that make sense? And so I don't know why Ananias and Sapphira did what they did, but they wanted to be seen. They wanted everybody to know that they were awesome, I guess. I don't know. But there was a part of them that said, God, we can't do this because you're not going to be able to handle what we're going into next. We've got to make sure we've got our lives under control. There's something powerful about walking by faith. There's something powerful about saying, God, I want you to be able to speak to me about any avenue and any area in my life. If it's my time, if it's finding a young person in church and mentoring them, if it's finding a new convert that's just started showing up and I find out that they're in the hospital, that I don't need a request to go, that I'll go to the hospital. 15, 20 minutes out of your day to stop, to park, to walk in, to walk into the room, to shake their hand, to let them know that you're praying for them, to give of yourself in small ways that God can say, look what they're doing right there. That's my kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I've got to have your kingdom in my life. There's something about his kingdom. There's something about releasing ourselves to be used of God. There's something about when we get over ourselves and we begin to say, God, I want your will in my life. The hand that gives is a hand that gathers. Christians show what they are by what they do with what they have. Let me say that again. Christians show what they are with what they do, with what they have. What do you do with your talents? What do you do with your abilities? What do you do with what God has called you to do? What do you do with what God has blessed you to do? Maybe God's blessed you with a boat, and there's somebody in the church that likes to fish that's struggling. And you know what? I can take my boat. And I can load them up and I can take them down to my, well, I can't let them know where my fishing hole is because that's my secret spot. We're not going there. Hey, come on. I want to show you a good time. I want to talk to you about the Lord. We're going to say, I'm not here to preach or do a Bible study. I just want you to know that I care. I'm giving of myself to somebody else. The longest chapter in the Bible is Numbers chapter 7. Nearly 2,000 words, and it's all almost about giving. Luke 6 and 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's what we're so afraid of. God, I don't know if you can handle, if I give of this time, I don't know. God, if I give of this monetary blessing, if I give of this situation, that God, I don't care if it's a set of golf clubs. God, I might bend a club one day and I'm going to need this club later on. And whatever it is that God is dealing with you about. I gave away a set of golf clubs one time, and I remember walking away from that transaction, and I was like, man, I'm going to need those one day. I don't even use the ones I've got. What am I going to do with two sets? Just take up more room, clutter my garage more, bless my marriage more. But here I am walking away from that transaction, knowing I did a good thing, knowing I did right. And I'm thinking, man, I should have kept those clubs. They were Tommy Armors. I mean, I probably couldn't have sold them on eBay for $8. I was going to need them one day. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give. It doesn't say hold and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. It says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. For at the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Again. I've watched people that didn't have anything to give, and they would begin to give of what they could give. I heard a story the other day of somebody that they were living on Social Security and government, and they didn't have anything. They couldn't even pay their bills off what they had. And so they would go and clean people's houses in the church to try to give back. They would go and try to do things because they didn't have anything. And God blessed, and God blessed, and God blessed. They weren't giving anything monetary, but God began to bless them monetarily because they began to invest what they did have to give. Because whatever I invest in, whatever I give, it's going to be, God says, I'm going to give it back in good measure. Now, I'm not saying if I gave, if I gave $500 to a home missions work, and then I'm going to go sit over here and wait and say, all right, God, I'm waiting for that to come back is $1,500, and I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for that check in the mail. I never know how it's going to come back. It might come back in the blessing that you get in the price that you get of a car. It might come back in a tax return. You have no idea how it's going to come back. One time I gave, and all of a sudden I got a check from the IRS that they said, we lost this and decided we needed to give it back to you. Now, I didn't cash that thing for a long time because I've had great experiences with the IRS. Heard one man say, I only fear two things in this world, God and the IRS. Jesus, that's just right around the corner, folks. Man, I held on to that thing for a while because I was a little bit nervous about that. I didn't know. I didn't know what to think about it. But I don't know how it happened, but somewhere along the way, God had set that back, and then I got a blessing from it. And so we're talking about gifts from God. We're talking about God being able to use us with what he has placed on our lives. James 1 and 27 says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion. What is pure religion? We talk about that. Oh, pure religion. This is pure religion. And undefiled before God. What does he want you to do? To give of yourself, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. A person that is a giver, it says in Proverbs 22 and 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. A giver notices things that are not right. A giver has an eye for areas of need. It might be an area of we had a young lady in the church there in Odessa that she's never gotten married. She worked in small jobs and was very involved in the church and in the district. And there was an older man in the church, and he was married and had kids and grandkids. But he would watch the tires on her car. And he would come to church, and he'd walk out the side door. It's a big building, and he would go out the side door, and he'd walk out to her car, and he'd get his penny out, and he'd check. And so every few months, he'd go check the tires on her car. And then finally, he'd show up one day, and he'd come by and say, hey, I need the keys to your car. And he would take her car down, and he'd pull it in, and he'd buy her a new set of tires and bring it back and drop it off at her work. Nobody ever knew about that. He didn't get out and wave his hand and say, oh, look what I did. No, God laid something in his heart, and he said, God is taking care of me. He had an oil field job, and he'd find money when nobody else could find money. He's a fisherman, is what they call him. That's the guy that gets to go down when they're drilling and pull out all the stuff that's messed up. Now, you only get paid when they're drilling, and when they're not drilling, you don't get paid. But he understood that even when they weren't drilling, God took care of him, and so he was going to do his part in taking care of somebody else. And so periodically, he'd walk out, and he'd check out her tires. He'd take a look at them, and he'd go down. And this same little young lady who's given her life to the kingdom, that's never been married, that doesn't have money, that doesn't have hardly anything, doesn't live in a home that she owns. Here a few years ago, her car, she'd had the same little Honda Accord for years, a Civic, the two-door Civic she'd had for years. Somebody showed up one day, walked in her office and said, "Hey, I want you to come with me." She got up from her office. They got in the car and drove down to the Toyota dealership. They took her out. They said, "You see all these Corollas right here? You just pick the one you want. I'm buying it for you today." I doubt she's invested $10,000, $20,000 in the entirety of her life beyond tithes into the kingdom of God. She's almost 50 years old. I doubt she's invested hardly any monetary things into the kingdom because she's never had that at her expense. But she has worked and she has cleaned and she has helped people. She has let people live with her that had mental problems. She has allowed people to be in her life. She's mentored people. She's gone and preached in little churches that didn't have a pastor. And she has given of herself. And God says, "Hey, when you give, you can rest assured, I will take care of my own. I don't know what I'm going to do. My car is falling apart. I don't know how I'm going to buy a new one. I can't afford to even hardly pay my bills." And God said, "I've got somebody already in mind that I've laid you on their heart. Hey, why don't you just pick out the one?" She got the sport package with leather on it. I was like, "You know, you might could have backed off a little bit." And she said, "They said, get whatever I wanted." yeah. But God keeps blessing, and God keeps blessing. There's something powerful about the giver, the one that notices things that nobody else notices, the one that can see things that nobody else sees, that they notice that, "Oh, wait, there's something that's messed up over here. There's something going on at so-and-so's house. There's something that's here that I have the ability to help in that situation." Whether it's mowing a yard, whether it's baking a cake, whether it's pulling weeds at the church, whether it's being involved in different aspects of ministry, or whether God has given you the ability that everything that you place your hands on, God has given you a gift that you can take that lump of coal and turn it into a diamond. There are people that you say and you know them that everything they touch turns to gold. It is a God-given gift that God has placed on their lives. It's amazing. I've got family members. I've got a cousin that's worth $400 million. He came from a preacher's kid's family. He came from a poor farm in Missouri. And today he is worth $400 million. He pays the note at his church. He pays notes on other people's churches. Maybe I need to get to be closer to him than I am. But he has gives and gives and gives and gives. And God blesses and blesses and blesses and blesses and blesses. That's the way it works. My uncle hadn't been to church. He's a backslider. Hadn't been to church in, who knows, he's 64, turned 64 yesterday. And he hadn't been to church in years. Went through a divorce, lost everything. Don't just go with the biggest name in the newspaper, folks. You better do some research when you get a lawyer. And he lost everything. She got all the good stuff. He got all the bad stuff. She got all the stuff that was debt-free. He got all the stuff with all of the debt. He moved back in with my grandmother. He lost everything but his truck. And God started dealing with him about giving. He started putting a $20 bill in his pocket. And if there was somebody on the side of the road, he didn't care if he knew they were lying to him. He'd give them $20. He didn't have a church, so he started writing tithe checks and just sending them. And all of a sudden, God began to bless a backslider that hadn't been to church in years. And God all of a sudden starts begin to bless. All of a sudden, he's got money to buy his own home with cash. Where did that come from? All of a sudden, he's got money to purchase other homes, get back in the rental property, get all of the debt that he obsessed and all of this that he didn't even know they had. paid off. And all of a sudden, God begins to bless. All of a sudden, he walks back into Ray Johnson's church, throws his hands in the air, and begins to become a part of the kingdom of God all over again. Because all of a sudden, he realizes there is something to this, that there's a God that knows where I'm at. And that when I begin to allow myself in whatever means that I am possible to give, he will never, ever, ever forget that moment in time. Now, that's not why we do it. That's not why we do it. We do it because of his kingdom. If I'm good to somebody and I'm expecting something back, then it's not in the right spirit. If I mow my neighbor's yard, and when my yard gets high and I can't get to my yard and he gets his mower out and he doesn't come back and mow my yard, I can't get mad because he didn't mow my yard after I mowed his yard. Because it's not about my yard. It's about the kingdom. If I bless somebody and I pour into somebody and I give them of my time and then they decide they want to leave and do something else or go to another church, I can't get upset about that. Oh, you want to, but it's not about you. It's about his kingdom. It's about what have I given? What have I done? What have I done to be a part of his kingdom? You look in 1 Corinthians 16, 2 and 3. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letter, them will I send and bring liberally unto Jerusalem. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He's saying, I'm coming to you, and when I come, I know y'all have been taking up an offering for the church in Jerusalem because you know that they are in need. They're struggling. They're in pain. They're going through trials and tribulations. They're being persecuted, and that they are in desperate need of help. And one church in another city blessed another church in another city. Why? Because it's about the kingdom. It's all about him. It's all about what he's doing. Everything that we do has got to be about him. Jim Baker, who was caught embezzling money, wrote a book. And he wrote the book, said, the title of it was, I Was Wrong. He said he remembered when he got out of prison and nobody wanted anything to do with him. Not one person wanted anything to do with him after his mistake. He knew he'd messed up. He knew he'd made mistakes, but he didn't have anything to offer now. He didn't have anything to give. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a church. He didn't have anything. He'd lost it all. And Franklin Graham called him, said, I want you to come over and eat dinner with us. He said he remembered that act of kindness when nobody would touch him. This family invited him over to sit at their table and to eat. They sat at that table and they ate. And as they began to talk, Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, she'd cooked the dinner. And she asked him about a certain person that they both knew and asked if he had their number, and he said yes, and he reached into his back pocket and he pulled out an envelope. And he opened the envelope and he shuffled through it, and he had a little bit of cash in there and a credit card and some different stuff. And he pulled out a number and he said, here's the number right here. And she said, where is your wallet? He said, I just got out of prison. This is all that I have. This is the only wallet that I've got. She looked at him sideways. She got up. She walked into her bedroom. And she came back out with a wallet that was old and a little bit tattered. And she set it on the table. And she said, this was Billy's wallet. And I want you to have it. This was my late husband's wallet. I'll never be able to replace this. I'll never be able to get this back. And I'm giving it to a man that nobody else will touch, that is a criminal, that used his wallet to pad his own pockets. And she said, I want you to have this wallet. He said, out of everything that's ever happened in my life, he said, that was one moment in my life that I will never forget, because she showed mercy and gave to me when nobody else would. She didn't give him a dime, but she gave him something that was priceless that he never forgot. Lord God, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. God, that you would speak to us today, oh God, that your will and your way would be done. God, that your Holy Ghost would move and flow. God, that you would speak to our hearts, oh God, that you would stir us up inside, that we would be sensitive to your voice. God, if you want me to be a giver in my neighborhood, if you want me to be a giver in my family, if whatever it is that you desire for me to do, God, that I would be sensitive to your voice, that you can deal with me about areas of my life that I want to keep for myself. God, that you would help me to be sensitive to your voice and your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Matthew 10 and 8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. All the blessings that I have in my life have nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. I freely have received. Now, if I take that and bottle it up, then I'm in trouble. But freely. If you've got knowledge, if you've got ability, if you've got talent, if you're that person that God has put that just that touch on you, that you're just blessed and everything you do turns into something wonderful, we've always got to remember there's a reason that God placed that on our lives and that he wants to use us for the glory of his kingdom, in Jesus' name.